Okay, I have a treat for you this morning. Cody, I want you to come on up. Come on up here. Come on up here, Cody. Now, I gotta get him to promise me that he will only do 5 minutes. But I want you to tell them in a nutshell what happened to you the other day, and then tell them how awesome a grandfather you have.
Okay, hang on.
Oh my God, move out of the way.
I didn't get much preparation time for this.
I know, that's why I didn't tell him.
But so the other day I was sitting in my living room and I had a lot of weird symptoms ever since this go-kart accident. And the other day I'm sitting in my living room, my arms just like, they just go numb. And then my leg goes numb. And I'm like, what in the world? So most people would go to the ER. And I'm like, I feel like I probably should go to the ER. And I sat there and I was like, no. I'm not going. And I felt like in my spirit, I'm like, you know what I need to do right now? And I need to start running. I need to start running. And I ran around my house and my dog's trying to bite me and he's wondering what's going on. And I just start running and running and running. And I start praying in the spirit. And I don't know what happened. I have no idea how much time went by. But a certain amount of time went by and it felt like a whole day. And I just kept running and running and running. And I'm like, this is wild. And my whole body felt so strong that I haven't felt in a long time. It's very hard for me to be in this way physically. I've always been just a brick house, and that's what I like to be. And I'm getting back there. But it's very, very hard as a man to look the way I look. And I've struggled with it for so long because for, you know, almost 3 years now, you know, I've tried to go back to the gym. And that's what I truly love. That's what I desire. And I started praying in the spirit and, you know, maybe an hour went by. I don't know. But I felt like this surging power just coursing through my bones. And it was almost like like some sort of oil or something like that, you know. And the more and more I did it, the more powerful I became. And I felt like everything in my body was just being restored. And I was listening to Andrew Womack not that long ago, and he was talking about in the beginning, I'm talking about the very beginning, each day there was an order to things at which they were done. So, you know, there was the birds, and then there was the this, and then there was the that, and then there was, you know, then there was us. And then it says he went into entered rest. Well, you know, he talks about rest being like he didn't go to sleep. He didn't just say, hey, listen, I'm gonna, you know, everything's done. When he entered rest, it meant complete. So there's nothing on the earth that he said now, I should have added this, I should have added that. When he entered rest, it means it was done. Everything was perfect. Adam didn't come down to the earth, and Adam didn't get formed and go, oh my gosh, Lord, I need oxygen. I need this, I need that. Like, hey, it'd be nice to have some food of some sort. It was already done before Adam got here. So everything in this life that you'll ever need has already been done.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think that's what you have to realize. But you don't know that it's been done until you open up your Bible.
Right.
And you have to tap into the power. And it's I'm talking about power. Like the amount of power. And I described this the other day when Ann and Kevin were here. But it's so like, what's the word I describe? White. It's so white. You ever felt white? And, you know, Kelby and everybody, I half white. Yeah, I felt half that way. But it's like, you ever felt just so, so pure power, and I've never felt that way in my entire life. And in my living room, I just started to praise him. And I'm like, Lord, listen, you have to get to the point where you look at 1 Peter 2:24 and you're like, I'm not living this way anymore. It's been done. You know, Andrew Womack said one time he was 8 miles from his house, and I think he broke his ankle or something like that, and it was 0 degrees in Colorado. And he said if he would have stayed there, and there's no cell phones or anything like that, if he would have stayed there, he would have died. And he said, well, you know, I believe I'm healed. He jumped up and said, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. And he ran 8 miles home, and he said, you know, his ankle was huge by the time he got home. The next day he woke up perfectly normal. There is a God, and you have to know what belongs to you in the Word. He did not, you know.
I told you why I gave him 5 minutes, because I knew he would take 10, but y'all hold on.
There's nothing in here. God can't lie, right? There's no such thing as God lying. But I will tell you, it's funny because most of us, you know, will go through and we have this like mental assent of what the Word says. And it's like, yeah, I believe that I'm healed. You know, I know what 1 Peter 2:24 says. And like we do, but do you? And it says, don't let it depart from your eyes. Well, what's funny is you already know what the next step is, because when you've already been healed, that's the funny part about all this stuff. It's already been done, right? Calvary was the day it was taken from you, so you don't have to live a sick day in your life. But the next step is, you know, it says, it already says that the devil's going to come steal, kill, and destroy. Like, that's what he's trying to do. So when the symptoms try to come back, don't be surprised. It's not like, oh my gosh, I didn't get my healing. It's like, it says exactly what he's trying to do, silly. You know? So you have to stay in this. And you have to, you know, the other day, I started talking to my body. And I started to just confess things over my body. And I just prayed on the Spirit for, you know, a certain amount of time. And that whole day, I didn't do anything. I laid there in bed. And I'm like, man, alive. You know, I'm young. I was like, I don't want to be laying in bed on this beautiful day. And one time Justin told me, he's like, why don't you go to the gym and just walk on the treadmill? And so I went to the gym, and I'm telling you, I felt like I was going to die right there. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go see Jesus right in the back row of these treadmills. But, you know, I was reading the other day, and it was talking about, you know, just faith. Faith without works is dead. So if you don't act upon your faith, nothing happens. Don't be surprised. If you have works without faith, that's also dead. So don't be surprised that way too. But when you bring the two together, that's when things happen. And I will tell you, I'm going to try to keep it in, but Isaac, I keep having these like dreams, and it's like there wasn't a single person that Jesus did not heal. The only time that you can even find it is when he went to his hometown, and that was just because of unbelief, because he grew up there. They're like, oh, this is the kid. This is that crazy kid. But I will tell you, there's not a single thing that this book lied about. The amount of power that's in this book is absolutely unreal. And you have to tap into that. And I will tell you, that boy will walk.
He will.
There is no choice for that boy to walk. He will not stay there in the name of Jesus. Because God said, by his stripes we are healed. It's been done on Calvary, and there is no other choice. This is truth. There is no other truth besides this. So you have to start speaking. And I will tell you, going back to even financially, there was a time when I went to all these doctors, and you know, I ended up spending like 80 grand. And it was 80 grand that came out of my pocket. And believe me, I had that set aside for my G-Wagon, right? So Like, I had all intent. I'm like, I want a G-Class, G63 AMG. Like, that's what I'm going to go buy. And then all this crap happened. And, you know, you don't think I'd like an extra 80 grand just in my savings account, you know. And especially being newly married, it's like, man, like, you know, it's everybody could, you know. But I will tell you, I started speaking to that too, because the devil can try to come and steal, kill, and destroy. And health isn't a promise. It's not a promise done to you. You have to understand that. So in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, it was done for you.
It's a fact.
It's finished. And JC has this, we engrave this cup that says tetelestai, and it means it is finished. And every time I look at it, and it's like, man, everything since the beginning of the earth, everything, day one, day two, day three, when he entered into rest, everything was complete. There's nothing that I will ever encounter or ever go through on this earth that does not have a solution to it. I didn't get on this earth and go, oh my gosh, Lord, you forgot to invent oxygen. He's already provided every single thing for every single solution. But if you don't get in here like I didn't do for so long, and I guarantee you, you know, if I said, who hasn't, you know, just by a raise of hands, who has not opened up their Bible since last Sunday, you'd think we'd have them praise and worship again, you know? And it's like, everybody, oh yeah, put your hand down. Go knock the dust off, because what doesn't happen, and I'll tell you this, when the devil comes, you can't just, it's not like kryptonite. You can't pick this up and go, get away from me in the name of Jesus. This is worthless without you opening it and knowing it. And you have to speak. You have to speak what this says. You have to go through and just over and over and over and over again. And until we get to that point, there, you know, not that long ago, I was sitting there, and you know, what scripture is that that Jesus said, "You'll do more works than I did."
John 14.
You know, Jesus told the disciples, "You'll do greater things than I have." How many of us, don't raise your hand, how many of us have done greater works than Jesus on this earth? Exactly my point. It's like, we've got to stop dilly-dallying and treating this as a game, because there are people out there that need this. There are people out there that need Jesus. They need health. They need wealth. They need eternal life. I don't talk about it much, but I will say it took me long enough after. I had a friend named James, and James and I worked out together. This guy, like, salt of the earth. He was like one of my best friends, and I absolutely love James. James was like, I can't even describe to you in words, James. Like, I've never seen him mad. Never saw him mad once in my life. We went to Chick-fil-A one day, and we're talking and stuff like that, and I never mentioned anything to him about any of this. And the next day I get a phone call or whatever, and James passed away. And, you know, like, you think that you have time that you don't have. You don't know. It's like Justin had a friend that he ended up getting saved, and he got into a motorcycle accident, and not that long after. Had he not done that, you understand the consequence. You know, hell's not even the worst part about it. The lake of fire after hell is way worse than hell. It's like, you know, hell is like a
county jail.
Like a county jail. And to stay there forever, and there's nothing that I can do about James, and I regret that. And I will say, there's many a times I kick myself, because I'm like, man, I sat down at Chick-fil-A just trying to eat my fries and talk about just a bunch of crap that doesn't mean anything now. And I miss him. and I know that I'll never get to see him again. And that upsets me. But there are plenty of friends that I have that are also not going to make it if it's not up to me. And I will say everybody, I mean, Justin walks around, even though, you know, Justin doesn't exactly like lift the entire time of the gym session, you know, which I will say used to frustrate me. I'm like, Justin, dude, we're trying to do legs right now, man. And he's over there, you know, preaching. He's talking to somebody about Jesus. And I'm like, Justin, can we talk to them about Jesus after the sets? Let's talk to them after. But right then and there, you know? And I will say, I mean, the amount of people that ended up in this church just came from Fitness CF. I mean, most of us, you know? I mean, all of Fitness CF is going to end up in the gym. And so there's a sense of urgency. But I think that, you know, when I stayed in my living room and I just prayed in the Spirit, it was nothing that I can describe in words. I've never been happier in my entire life than those hours. And it's almost like time stopped. It was like, you ever seen like those Infinity Stones, like the Avengers and stuff like that? It's kind of what it felt like. Like you just, I entered into a place of rest. And I wasn't tired, but everything inside of me felt complete. It was, this is done, you know, and it was such a beautiful place. And I wish I could have stayed there all day, but I got so excited about it. I called Papa after and I was like, you'll never guess where I just went. And he was like, what'd you say to me?
I don't remember.
Oh, I don't know. But, you know, what's funny about all that is, you know,
what happened to him was that he connected and got in faith. It stopped being mental ascent. He got desperate, like, I ain't living like this. And you understand that there is no hope outside of the Word. And he picked up his Bible and he stepped over into faith, and the Holy Spirit hit him and healed his body. And even though we all say we believe that, faith is always precedes hope. Do you all understand that? You can't sing your way to victory. You get in victory and then you sing. You've got to get this out. See, we there's people on the planet, I'm going to get into this in my sermon in a minute if I ever get a chance to. They're trying to sing their way into victory. Don't do that. That's a defeated mindset. And you're hoping that something will happen. It's not going to. Jesus finished his work and sat down. He's done. Well, whenever you finally get into the place where you go, I am the healed. That's mine. Now you're in faith. Now count it all joy. Then the Holy Spirit moves. Now people look at me and go, what's happening in this church? I don't know. I'm not here to entertain you. This isn't Disney World. If you're miserable, get in faith. If you're sick, you get in faith. You're not waiting on God. You can have all the victory you want to the moment you want it. What happened to Cody was he finally got sick and tired of being sick and tired, and he got in the Word until it became more real to him than his problem, and boom, Holy Ghost. What he's describing is it happened from the inside out. The Holy Spirit's not up in heaven falling on your head. He's in him. But that power went, that strength went to work in his body and totally healed his body. This is what happened. Something he's been dealing with for years and years and years.
So 3 years ago, him and I were in the same accident. I'm kind of the part of the reason why he was gotten to his spinal cord, got messed up, but he also came around the corner way too fast. He drives too fast, not looking where he's going. I'm driving too reckless. We're all racing. But one thing I learned from this is that it takes more than one person to get sometimes a healing in their body and sometimes time, because like he said, there's times where God, I preached that Wednesday night, God says, what do you do next? Get in the Word. And I think it's like the body of Christ, we're like jumper cables. But you got to take time to obey God and stop your busy day because life's about people. And I didn't know what was happening, but for 3 years, we had done some where we kind of got all the guys in the apartment. I'm like, Cody, let's go play Smash. We're going to pray over you. And then a couple of weeks later, we're going to pray over you again. And I'm on the phone with Cody, and I'm working, you know, and I'm like, you know, well, he needs to be reading his Bible more, and he needs to be in church more. And it's like I learned a lot through that because what I've learned is sometimes people are dealing with pain and the devil and maybe in their flesh. I don't feel like going to church. I'm not feeling good. Pray over people. Pray over, go visit him. And I remember one time as we kind of worked through this process of the healing process in him, that it was not a one-night period. This was a 2.5-year period after the accident happened because we didn't really know what happened until about a couple months in with the wedding night. And so I was at my house, and I moved out and moved into my sister Chase's house, and I didn't really know what was happening. I'm just following the Lord. Got tired of living there, renting my house out. I'm like, I've been here 10 years. I'm leaving. I just want to go do something different. So Che took me in. Well, I didn't know what's happening. But the Lord spoke to me, go take the faith book over to Cody's house and sit with him and read the book with him together. Like, sometimes you're going to have to grab people in this church that are struggling, and they don't just go grab them and do it with them. It says carry each one's heavy burdens. People in this church need, sometimes they're at home studying faith, but they might need somebody to come over with them and say, I'm in agreement with you. Two or three are gathered. We're going to get this healing. Come on, we're doing this together. We're going to read this book together. We're going to study faith together because there's power in agreement. There's power in unified. And we're like, why isn't this person getting healed yet? There might be because some of us need to stop our busy lives and go, I'm coming over tonight. We're going to grab some dinner. We're going to sit. And I think sometimes I annoy him because I just walk in the house and I'm like, all right, we're reading this book today. Let me read this. And Cody's laying on the floor and I'm just reading Brother Hagin to him. And it's like a jump start. Like, come on, let's do this. Let's do this. Because there's days he woke up and I'm not feeling good. We went to the gym yesterday. I'm hurting. All right, I'm coming over again. It's my day off. You know, it's Monday. Cody's laying on the floor. I'm going over there. We're going to read together. We're going to read to him. Because sometimes it's more than just one person trying to get a healing on their own. And then Papa. And so there's people that need to go to that next step. And they need what? You and I to do that. It says in Acts, they ministered in the temple daily. And then they went house to house. And so when the Holy Spirit tells me to stop and go do something, I go do that. I love the Norval Hayes' story where he would just stop and go to the beach and preach to all those kids for a week, and then God made him a millionaire. And it's like, and because he just asked what the Lord told him to do. And so that's why at the gym, I'll be pumping iron, and I'll lose my pump all the time. Like yesterday, I totally lost my pump because I was talking to somebody. But to me,
getting
big or staying, you know, physically fit is like secondary to somebody's salvation. And I mean, you know, and somebody getting to know Jesus or an opportunity. Because like he said, I was talking to a kid one time, got him born again, and then a few months later, he's gone. You don't know what's going to happen to people. And people need help. And so I just let the Lord redeem my time. I sow my time into people. Bible says you reap what you sow. I'm so busy. Okay, well, maybe sow some time. Get some time back. So yesterday, same thing happened. I'm driving. I'd already passed Chick-fil-A. I went myself, and the Lord said, go back and buy chicken sandwiches for your mechanic who's working on all your cars right now because he's making fun of my truck. But my truck was in the shop of my car.
Yeah, the truck's in the shop.
I turned around.
Raptor was in the shop.
And I was like,
Raptor
Lord,
was in the shop.
I got a lot of stuff to do on Saturday, Lord. And the Lord said, go back and do what I tell you to do. So I went back to Chick-fil-A. I bought myself a milkshake just because I went back. I bought a whole stack of chicken sandwiches and fries. I walked back into the shop, and I just laid them there, and I said, hey, just want to say thank you for being such a blessing and helping me. And then I left. And they were like, what? What is he doing? I'm sowing seed. I'm opening the door. Why? And they're like, nobody does this. He goes, like, thank you so much. That was very nice of you to do that. I said, that's because, I talked to him about the word, talked about Jesus. Jesus is the first giver. He gave his only son. Life's about people. And we're only taking people when we die. All this other stuff, money, we use it for people. And so I'll say that I think the process is that sometimes people in this church, we need each other. And it's like, oh, where are they at? Well, they should be reading their Bible. Maybe we should go call them and visit them.
So. Has this been 5 minutes? Not quite yet. Not quite yet. Yeah. Give these two guys a hand, Cody. When Cody was in Israel, he started preaching, and I said, are you called? Justin, he went, no.
Justin turned this off on me, so I'll say this last thing. Oh, is it on? Okay. That day in my bedroom, it was more real. Most of us, you know, you think these the five senses are real. You think this physical body's real. That day in my living room, in my house, was much more real than even my body. And that's where I got to was 1 Peter 2:24 became so much more real to me. Symptoms tried to come back afterwards. And I'm like, you devil, you're so dumb. Because now, not only did I get healed, but I'm just going to go crazy for Jesus. You know? So amen. That's all awesome.
Amen. Amen. So people ask me all the time, is anything happening in this church? Yes. But I'm afraid to bring them up. I got to get over my fear. Okay, it's only 11:22. I've still got a little bit of time left. Are y'all ready for the word? Go to John 14, and start with verse 12. Now, I'm going to talk for a few minutes, what's left, about the Holy Spirit. Now, last week, we were talking about Jesus' resurrection. Brother Hagin made a statement. The world needs Jesus. The church needs the Holy Ghost. Now, we are, this church here, is a charismatic church. Do you know by definition what that is? We're not Pentecostal because there's makeup here. And pants. Women wear pants, so it couldn't be a Pentecostal church. Amen. So what is a charismatic? Back, I guess, 20 years ago, God began to move in denominational churches, and people began to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And what I mean by that is speaking in tongues. Well, they were uncomfortable in their denominational churches, and they weren't comfortable in Pentecostal churches, so a new breed of Christians sprung up. So if we went through the church building right now, and I said, how many Episcopalians? There would be people raise their hand. How many Baptist people? How many ex-Catholics? So in the right here, you just have a little bit of every denomination, every flavor. It almost looks like Baskin-Robbins. But there is something that separated you and I from the denominational churches, and that is the thing called being filled with the Spirit. Now, I want to go over some things because I want you to gain some understanding. So let me just take off here. John 14:15. I said 12, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. I'm going to pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper, and he'll abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world, that's a lost person, cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Now, what he said was, I have been here 3 years with you, and everything you've ever needed, I have been here for you. I'm leaving, but I'm going to send another helper like me to abide with you, and he'll be in you, referring to the Holy Spirit. Now, this is not the new birth. Now, why would I say that? Because he said the world cannot receive him. The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. Now, when they get born again, they're born of the Spirit. Now, let me go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 with me. I'm going to use a few scriptures today. And we'll get back into that word Cody brought up a while ago, power. We're going to get into that. Now, you understand this. When Jesus was born as a baby, he is God incarnate, right? Yes. How many miracles did Jesus do at 12? He didn't do any. So that gets rid of the incorrect theology that he healed because he was God incarnate. He did not. As a matter of fact, he left his deity behind and took on humanity and became totally human. See, God can't be tempted, but Jesus was. God can't die, but Jesus did. So he had to be human. That is the reason that the name Jesus is above every name, because it's the name of a man. So he's 100% God. He is. He's also 100% man. And he didn't do anything in the earth as God. Now that right there, I just lost 999% of denominational Christians, because that's their theology and their doctrine, but it is not true. He didn't do anything as God. So how did he do it? It says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, a man with the Holy Spirit and power, who went around doing good and healing all oppressed of the devil. That means all the bad stuff is the devil and all the good stuff is God. So God is not making Cody sick to teach him. That's not true. If you believe that, you stop going to the doctor, because a hospital would now become a house of rebellion. Get your doctrine straight. Either the sickness is God teaching you, and throw the pills away and don't go to the doctor anymore. Quit rebelling against God. Or give that lie back to hell, because God, every good and every perfect thing comes from above, from the Father of lights. Jesus went around in Galilee and healed all that were oppressed. He never went up to someone and went, nah, not you. Never, never, never. All of that's teaching, not any of it's anywhere in that book. It's a man-made doctrine to excuse why nothing ever happens in churches. Maybe it's us. Maybe the preacher ought to go, I really don't know what I'm talking about. Or go find out. So go 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. I, brethren, when I came to you, I didn't come to you with excellency of speech and wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear of God, much trembling, in my speech and my preaching. They were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. That means that everywhere Paul went, there was a demonstration of the Holy Spirit and the power of God, just like Jesus. Now, somebody, you saw me raise my hand a while ago. If you've ever led anybody to the Lord, you understand you've already done a miracle greater than Jesus. He never had anybody born again. So the new birth is a greater miracle than people being healed. Well, that's easy. Well, then why is cancer so difficult? Because we've made it difficult. Never mind. Just hang with me a while. What happened with Cody happened to you. Oh, by the way, I have a broken foot. Just don't tell me. The doctor said, you have a broken foot. I said, okay, thank you. I got up and left and walked up. I'm not better than anybody else. I just learned I'm not waiting on God. He lives inside, and he's kind of awesome. Anyway, verse 6, however, we speak of wisdom among those who are mature. Baby Christians lose it when they listen to me preach. They're like, freak out. Not the wisdom of this age, that's people in the world, nor the rulers of this age are to come into nothing. That literally means dethroned. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom. There is a wisdom of God that is hidden, not from you, for you. Well, that's what we're going to get into that very strong in just a minute. There is a wisdom of God. The world doesn't know it at all. You can't go to college and find out what I'm preaching. You can't go to higher. You can't find what I'm fixing to show you anywhere on the planet except the Word of God. Do you understand that? All right, it's a hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the ages, which none of the rulers knew it. Had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. For eye has not seen nor ear heard enter the heart of the man the things God had prepared for him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Now, let me finish reading this, because this is the Mac Daddy. What man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now listen to what I'm fixing to say. You'll never find out anything about God or the Bible outside the Holy Ghost teaching you. If the Holy Spirit doesn't teach it to you, you will be ignorant. 80% of the people in the United States are not saved. 80%. Some people say it's higher than that. That's pretty ignorant, isn't it? But you know why they don't know it? They're not looking. Jesus said, seek, and you shall find. Let me tell you something. God's not withholding information from anybody. Everything in the Bible you don't know is because you aren't looking. I'm going to come over here and preach. There is nothing on this planet that you want to know that God won't show you if you seek. Like Cody, when you get hungry, he will come to your house. All right, I'm going to read something. This is the man who talks to flowers, George Washington Carver. Love this guy. This is the guy, George Washington Carver is a black slave that saved the South. Someone forgot to tell him he was a slave because he just ignored it. He said, there is literally nothing I've ever wanted to do, said the old man, that I asked the Creator to help me that I have not been able to accomplish. No one is holding you back but you. Well, that's just flat good preaching. But listen to me. There's only one way to find it. Holy Spirit knows everything. He made your body. He certainly could fix it. Now listen to this statement by George Washington Carver. He said, you have the habit of talking to flowers and peanuts and making them give their secrets, said Jim. How do you do that? He said, you have to love it enough, said Dr. Carver. Anything will give its secret if you love it. There is nothing on this planet that will not respond to you if you want to know. But you have to know where to go to get it. So let me finish. Or y'all are at least engaging with me now because you're like, I really think I want to know this. God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. What man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man in him? So even no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who's from God, that we will know things freely given to us by God. These things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. When you are talking to a non-spirit-filled Christian, they will look at you like a dog at a new bowl. Because you can step over into the wisdom of God. I'm going to do a case in point. How many times have you ever looked at a person and said, if you'll take 10% of your income and give it away, you'll have more? And they'll go, you've lost your mind. Everybody knows that if you have $100 and you take $10 and give it away, then you only have $90 left. And you say, wrong. The Bible says, see, because it takes faith to do that. But the only people who know it are people who did it and it works and you don't even know how it works. Everything God will ever give you to do will take faith to do it because it will not make sense to your carnal mind. God is smarter than your brain. And he will say things to you, like, and you'll go, what? Now, let's talk about tongues. Well, we don't speak in tongues because, you know, God already knows everything. That's a very natural, stupid thing to say. Because let me tell you why. God, in his sovereignty, that's another heresy you need to get away from. God can't lie, can't die, can't violate his word. He can't. He cannot. He went to his own hometown. Couldn't. Could not. Jesus, God incarnate, could not. Could not. Could not. He can't do anything with your unbelief. He can't. You can go to hell and he can't stop you. God cannot answer a prayer you don't ask. God cannot answer a prayer you don't ask. Now you have a problem because there's things you don't know. How do you ask something that you don't know? God goes, they don't know nothing and I can't help them. Now we have a dilemma. He's got a church full of people who are ignorant. And he can't help you. So he gets the bright idea that he's going to help you pray in a language and you don't have a clue what you're saying. Now, you want to screw somebody's head up, it'll screw them up. Well, I don't know, seeing read, when I walk around praying in tongues. I mean, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just a dumb thing. To the natural mind, it's just slap stupid. But it is the door to the power, and if you don't do it, you don't have any power. Shandai. Well, I just unloaded on you. And the ones of you who do speak in tongues, 10 minutes a week, it's like going to the gym for 10 minutes. That's just really, just forget it. Thank you. Zach told me the other day in love, I said, I lost 20 pounds. He said, yeah, don't find it any longer. Quit finding it. And I went, you smart aleck, you just stinking little smart thing. I want you to pop Luke 4:14 on the screen. I want you to pop it up there. Oh, good. We got it. We got some time. Y'all don't get antsy on me. I don't want to start feud. And Jesus returned in the what? Say the power of the Spirit to Galilee and news of him. The Bible says he went into the wilderness full of the Spirit. But he came out full of what? Power. How do you turn the Holy Spirit in you into power? Yeah, see, listen, Acts 1:8. When did the church begin? Well, the Bible says Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. So it began the day he rose from the dead. He's the first guy. Then John went in the tomb and it says he saw and believed. And then he met Mary, she believed. And then he met Thomas and he said, Thomas, you believe because you've seen me. So he's already got a whole lot of believers on the earth. And it ain't Pentecost Sunday yet. So it can't be that Pentecost is the first day of the church. That's also not true. But he says, do not leave Jerusalem until you're endued with power. Power. Say power. See, in order for you to drive cancer out, it's going to take power. You've got to have some power. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Say Shandai. Now, what I'm trying to teach you right now is he gave you an ability to walk in the power of God. Now, what is hindering the power? Your head. Your head. God knows we don't know. He knows we don't know. And he loves us anyway. I mean, if... All right. Let me see if how... Go to Ephesians 3. The mayor didn't... He's going to go home and go, good God Almighty, I walked into a firestorm. It's like this every Sunday, Mayor. It's just like this every Sunday. Now listen, let's go to Ephesians 1. Let me go back to 1:15. I don't cease to give thanks to you, making mention of you in my prayer, that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, would give you a spirit of wisdom, revelation of knowledge, and the eyes of your understanding would be full of light, that you'd know the hope of his calling, the riches of his glory, and the exceeding greatness of his power. You need to have the Holy Spirit give you a revelation of what you have in the Holy Spirit. Now, let's go to 3. I read that pretty quick. For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, and who in the whole family in heaven and earth's name grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit inside your inner man, that Christ would dwell in your heart through faith, that you would be rooted and grounded in love. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart. The more you pray in the Spirit, the nicer you'll be. And I'm saying that because you husbands need to learn how to pray in the Spirit a lot more. And you may be able to comprehend with all the saints width, length, depth, and height, know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now listen to me. A Christian can walk the earth just like Jesus did. Amen. Now, why is that not happening? We're going to pretend for a minute. Let's pretend that everybody on the earth is colorblind. No one has ever seen red, white, blue, yellow, pink, pretty. And then one day, God touches someone and they can see color. How would they describe that? You would not be able to. Because everybody, you would say, oh my God, oh, I love your dress. Oh, that's beautiful. I love that. Oh, my God. That yellow right there. Oh, that's beautiful. Everybody in the room goes, he's lost it. Because there is no earthly way to describe what I know. Until one day, I'm walking along and I meet Lisa. And she goes, did you see the sunset? And I went, you can see that? And she goes, yeah, I can see that. I go, there's another person who sees what I see. I cannot describe to you what you know when you're in the Spirit. You'll have to go there. Yes. To everybody that doesn't do what we do, we're crazy. Yeah. Like, I don't see y'all are crazy. You know, I tell people when they come in, I say, in this church, we do things decently in order, so if you run, run the same direction. But nobody understands why in the world anybody would get excited. Now, see, every time I talk to someone about healing, every one of them go back to defeat. Well, I've been praying about it as though God in his sovereignty is someday going to have mercy on you and go, oh, my God, tell them to shut up. They've been asking me that for a year now. Go ahead and send healing and have Gabriel go down and touch him on the forehead and heal the body. Never happened. Never. And all the people you know that are believing for healing have never gotten it. Something's not right. Well, then God doesn't do that anymore. That's a lie. Because Jesus healed because of compassion, which means love has been done away with. If he stopped loving, he's not God. And if he loves you and doesn't heal you, then he's a liar. Well, we got a problem, don't we? Maybe it's us. Could it be us? Yes. Yes. I'm trying to. Oh, I got time. I'm trying to figure out what kind of notes I can get in here right now. Go to Romans 8. Cody, you just took all my time. No, I'll tell you, I love that. I love Cody. I love my grandson. He is one good man. He's a good man. I want you to look at Romans 8. I'm going to show you this. Likewise, the Spirit helps. Say helps. Helps. Now, he will only help you. Listen, if you're not doing anything, he won't help you. Amen. He's not going to do anything you're not doing.
That's good.
If you're not reading your Bible, he will not help you.
Yeah,
if you're not praying, he won't help you.
True.
But he'll help you with anything you are doing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes,
okay. For the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought to, but the Spirit himself, he's a person, makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is. He's making intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So your praying in the Spirit is the only perfect praying you're doing. You're praying about stuff you don't even know about, and God is doing things in your life, and you're just like, oh, wow, you just wouldn't believe all this is happening to me right now. Yeah, I would. Because you finally put him to work. And we know that all things work together. Now, I mean, I wish I could slap people on TV. Just reach up through the TV and just slap the fire out of preachers. Well, you know, brother, all things are working together for the good of them that love the Lord. I don't know why the Lord allowed that bad thing to happen to you, but we know that God is working it out for y'all good. Say this with me. The devil attacking you ain't working for your good, you ignorant thing. You having a car wreck ain't working for your good. You losing your job ain't happening. You being, and the doctor declaring, so that ain't for your good. Ain't none of that happening for your good. But he did say this. If you will get in there and pray it out in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost will get in there and help you. And then all the things you just got through praying about in the Spirit are going to work out. And no matter what the devil was doing, it is going to turn out for your good. So Cody called me the other day and said, Papa, I've been walking around my house praying in tongues and declaring the word of God and praying in tongues and praying in tongues and praying in tongues. He said, and then strength hit my body. And everything that you can't lay in the bed and get anything, pray it out, pray it out, pray it out. Now, let me tell you something right now. If you came in here, all of your friends have already told, decided you're weird. You might as well come back.
Amen. Amen.
Do you go to that church?
Yes. Yes.
Well, I just visited once.
Amen.
You're branded, baby.
Yeah. That's right. Come on now.
I've only been declared dead 3 times. I'm just not cooperating. Doctor one time says, you got 1 year to live. And I went, Shandai. I got a scripture that says, with long life, he'll satisfy me and show me his salvation. I just got in my bedroom and prayed it out in the Holy Ghost until everything in my body decided to straighten itself all back out. Boy, praise God. All right, I have another scripture for you. I'd have to stop on time because there's food out there. Isaiah 28. The greatest need in the body of Christ. See, without you praying in the Spirit, you'll never have the wisdom of God. You can't get it. Everything I'm preaching right now, do you know why it's real to me? Holy Spirit taught it to me. So there's our people, and they will look at me and go, I don't understand a thing you said. I get it. So how do you, quote unquote, get filled with the Spirit? You take his word for it. He is not going to show you why you do it until after you do it. You're going to take him by faith. God is a faith God. Do not leave Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. Well, I don't believe that. Why not? He didn't ask you. He told you. Thank you. Well, it doesn't make sense to me. Irrelevant. It'll make sense after. Are y'all out there? Did you go home? And go back and read your Bible one day. The walls of Jericho. God says, all right, now here's how we're going to do it. You're going to shout them down. And if we had American Christians there, they would have said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Now, those walls have been standing there for hundreds of years, and they're big enough to have chariot races, and we're going to shout. I'm leaving church. I got to find another church. This Joshua guy is crazy as Moses. See, listen, I mean, maybe you ought to read your Bible one day. You ought to just read it. I mean, who in the world feeds 5,000 men with a McDonald's burger and a couple fries? You're reading, go, that's cool. No, he's not dead. Everything he's ever given you to do in the natural appears stupid to your head. He just wants to see if you'll do it. It made no sense to me. Good. Let's go. All of us in this room, the reason he uses us is because we're so ignorant, we believe the Bible. Thinking people, they don't use them very much. I'm thinking about that. Shout the walls down? I think we ought to get some dynamite. Where are we in Isaiah 28? Have you got anything out of this? David, I didn't mean to run you off. I'm teasing. Everybody say bye, David.
Bye, David.
That's embarrassing. Y'all know that? That's embarrassing. I was at a restaurant in Tulsa one time, and they don't ever tell you where the bathroom is. And when you ask the waitress, they bring a hat, put it on you with a light. And they take you through the restaurant and let everybody know that you're going to the bathroom. And they sing, he's gotta go, he's gotta go, he's gotta go. It's called Molly Murphy's House of Ill Repute, of Fine Repute, or something like that. It's crazy, funny, fun restaurant. We just did that anyway. And look at this in 9. I'm going to try to close. Verse 9, whom will he teach knowledge? Good question. And whom will he make to understand the message? Those weaned from milk? No. Those drawn from the breast? No. Precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Look at the rest of it. With stammering lips and another tongue, he will speak to this people. Look at the next one. This is the rest. That's what Cody was saying. That he caused the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet, they didn't want to hear that. That's powerful scripture. That's the power. You can enter into the very rest of God. You don't even have to be rich. You don't even have to go to the beach. Amen. Praying in the Spirit, he says in Ephesians, that's Jude 1:20. Beloved, build yourself up. Pray in the Holy Ghost. And keep yourself in the love of God. I don't know whether y'all go through this or not, but I have days when it's just like, I mean, I'm not motivated. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't even want to go to church, and I'm the pastor. I mean, I was just like, are you serious? It's Sunday, and wow. I'll come over here and preach. Hold on. You sit down and pray in the Spirit. And like Cody said, after about 30 minutes, you're cranked. Because you are a spirit. Everything you're dealing with right now in this earth is spiritual. You can't fix your problems with the natural. And that's why you're worried. Because you in your head have sat down and tried to find out how to fix this problem. You don't get mad at me. You don't have enough up there. But he does. He knows everything. And you can say, help. And just pray in the Holy Ghost a while. And he will take a hold together with you. The literal Greek in Hebrews 28:26. He will take hold together with you against every situation. He will get in the ditch with you and fight with you until you get out. Say, thank God for Holy Spirit. Now you understand why he said, don't leave Jerusalem. I know you're born again, but don't you get out there without your helper. Now, I want to say this. If Jesus needed him, who do you think you are? I don't need that. Really? If you send me to war, please send me with weapons. I'm not going to get out there and shout, everyone stop fighting. We need to get along. Ask Israel how that's working. The devil will kill you if he can. Say he can't. So he said, the weapons, the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Let me tell you something. Fight the good fight. Honey, if you ain't noticed by now, there's someone trying to kill you. The world you're living in, it ain't getting sweeter. And there are people out there, they're not nice, Billy Bob. They're not nice. And yet you have everything you need right now living on the inside of you. And all that wisdom is down on the inside not doing a bit of good until you pray it up out of the inside of you into your mind. And that's what happened to Cody. He decided, I ain't laying here in his bed like this anymore. I'm just going to pray in the spirit and run around my room, pray in the spirit and run around the room. Until the power of God hit him and he went, Papa, that actually worked. And I went, Shondai, try it again tomorrow. It'll work real tomorrow. It'll do good tomorrow. And I thought, well, I'm bringing him up here because you hear me say it all the time. You just need to hear it'll actually work for kids. Well, I call him a kid because I don't even know how old he is. I mean, hey, I don't think he's 30 yet, are you? Not yet. Megan ain't 30 yet either. It's a long time, right? All right, now listen, I don't know how to close this. I got to give it to Lisa because she's going to pray over the food. God gave you a helper. Amen. You don't have to do a thing with him if you don't. We got denominations of people who go, now we don't need that. They just die early and go to heaven. That's fine. Yeah. Not me, just not me. I don't want to die early. And I don't want to be defeated all of my life. Amen. So I changed churches and I come to this. And I found out, I thought, well, maybe I know this. Maybe I should start a church and tell other people about this. Now, if you're one of these people who don't believe this, we love you. When you die, tell my mother I'm coming soon. I love her. I'm not against. You can do whatever you want to do. You can do whatever you want. God's not mad at you. But when you get to heaven, there's going to be a line. It's called why. It's a long line. Why, God? I was listening to a preacher one day, and I don't know if it was a preacher or not. This guy died. And he says, when you get to heaven, there's orientation. They take you into a theater, and you get to watch the death, burial, and resurrection. It's like a hologram. It's not real actors. But you get to see behind it what happened behind when Jesus died spiritually and went into hell. And God's going to answer all your questions in the theater that day. So there's going to be a long line of why. There's a theater. Just, you know, why? That's the, right, that door, go over there to that door over there. And if you don't get it there, then you're going to be in my class. And they're going to go, aren't you that guy in the popcorn? Come on in here. We're going to answer your questions for you. Amen. Did you guys get anything out of this? Is this? I'm sharing this with you because this works. If the Bible doesn't work, let's all go to the beach. Let's show up on Sunday morning to hear a bunch of junk that don't work. I could care less. If it don't work, let's just all quit. I mean, if being filled with the Holy Ghost doesn't make you drunk, I know a couple good bars. Never mind. It's too much for you, isn't it? In a minute, Lisa's going to invite you up. If you're here today and you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, you come up and God will fill you. If you're here and you are filled with the Holy Ghost, start using the prayer language God gave you. Amen. Father God, thank you for this morning. Every person, the sound of my voice. You love every one of us. You love us. You gave us Holy Spirit. The same guy that came down in hell and got you out. Same guy that was with you for 3 years of your ministry that helped you with everything you're doing. And he's living in us and he's for us. I pray that every one of us would learn on this side of heaven how to work with him here. He has so much to show us and so much to teach us. The day that we start looking is the day you start answering our questions. And we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Word of Life Church. We just wanted to let you know there's a lot more content on our website at wolapopka.com. From our YouTube channel, to our podcast, to our SoundCloud, and many more events. We also wanted to let you know that we love giving you these messages. And it helps us too that if you would love to give to the what we're doing, it helps keep all these messages free. You can just simply go to our website and click the big Give Now button. Or you can text 407-955-5345. And remember, our pastor's vision is this: we grow Christians. So we thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.